Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Don't mind me, I always get nervous when I come up here. This morning, Andrew, I think, did most of my introduction for me, so there's not a lot for me to say in terms of my introduction this morning. But very simply, we were talking about the Ukrainian situation, and I was praying with a group of people about Ukraine, for Ukraine, and I thought, Lord, you know, there is nothing really that I can do except to pray and support them in the spirit, or, you know, if the opportunity arises, maybe to do something. But generally, there's not a lot that I can do physically about the situation. I don't know the answers, but I know someone who does have the answers, who does know the answer. And one of the things that my wife and I have been, the Lord speaking to us over the last couple of months more, is to stand firm. You know, Andrew read from Ephesians 6, where it talks about the armor. But for me and my wife, the Lord has been saying, stand firm. And to stand firm, you need to have an understanding of what's going on around you. But most of all, we need to have an understanding of the hope that we have in Christ. And this morning, I just want to share a little bit on hope. Because when we were praying for the brothers and sisters in Ukraine, the one thing that came to my heart very simply is we need to pray that they don't lose the hope that they have in Christ. Because we may praise, we may sing, we may dance, but it all comes from the attitude of heart, from inside here, that stems from that hope that we have in Christ. And without that hope in Christ, there's really not much else that we're going to achieve. But it's that hope that kept Silas, Paul, all of them, that kept them going through those very, very tough times. And it's that hope of Christ. So I just want to read, when I was reading or looking at scriptures for hope, there are just so many in the scripture that I hope I won't use the word bore you, but please bear with me when I use a lot of scriptures this morning, because the Lord is very clear when it comes to hope and the faith that we need to have to be able to live this life that the Lord has given us. So the first reading, if you've got your Bibles, is 1 Peter 2, verse 9. And I just want to set the, set the foundation for what I want to share. And that is very simply, it says here, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a special people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies, the wonderful deeds and virtues and perfection of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And one of the songs we sing there is, the Lord has taken us out of darkness into light. And I want to encourage us all not to lose sight of who we truly are. And that is, we are children of God. And if you are children of God, there's a lot of promises in the scripture that, I mean, you can spend literally the next couple of months just going through the scripture in terms of faith and hope, what the Lord is encouraging us with. And we have the Lord has chosen us and we've accepted. Let's put it the right way around. Because it's the Lord who chooses us. And when we get born again, when we are saved, when we are ransomed, when the Lord purchases us by his blood, we are taken from the darkness and put into the light of his kingdom. We are born again by faith. So we start off with faith. So we have a faith. When we get born again, we have a faith that has already been put into us. We begin to understand things that maybe, no, not maybe. If you're not born again, for the non-believer, some of the things that we preach or share or talk about is meaningless. They have no understanding of what we're talking about. And so we need to be careful in speaking to people who are not born again, how we speak, you know, the language that we use. And so you'll forgive me this morning if I use language that comes from the scripture, okay? So we are taken from the darkness, we put into light. We are forgiven, number one. We are accepted. We are adopted into the God's family as children of God. Now, I'm not talking about just believers, everybody believes, even the demons believe and shudder. But we need to understand that we are born again, we are children of God. We are part of His family. We've been brought into His family. We have an inheritance in His family. And we also need to be aware that we also have the rank and privileges of children in God's house. Sometimes we don't understand who we truly are, including myself. And so my encouragement this morning is to have a look at it. And that is, what is our hope based on? What do you base your hope on? And our hope needs to be based on faith. So if I want to ask, if you could read Titus, come with me to Titus 2, verse 11, I think it is. Let me just... All of us being brought into God's family as His children is because He has purposed it. It's not because we necessarily chose it. I certainly, in choosing myself, I certainly would not have, I wouldn't have put myself in the queue at all. But the Lord has His own plan and His own purpose, and looking around at you here, no, I'm not going to say anything. But if I was choosing my family, okay. No, I'll stop there. I think we stop while we're ahead here. So, Titus 2, verses 11 to 14. And this is to remind us that we have this by grace. We have this being part of God's family by grace. For the remarkable, undeserved grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to reject ungodliness and worldly, immoral desires, and to live sensibly, upright, and godly lives with a purpose that reflects spiritual maturity in this present age, awaiting and confidently expecting the fulfillment of our blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who willingly gave Himself to be crucified on our behalf to redeem us and purchase our freedom from all wickedness, and to purify Himself a chosen and very special people to be His own possession, who are enthusiastic for doing what is good. Sometimes when I look at the Christian church, the enthusiasm for doing good is occasionally lacking. We need to be careful of that in ourselves. We don't lose direction, we don't lose purpose, we don't lose hope where we're going. And anything we hope in, faith, must have, you know, the substance of hope is faith. In other words, we've got to have faith to cling to. And so I will be reading a lot of scriptures because, very simply, faith cometh by the word, and word cometh by hearing the word of God. So from preaching, from reading, and we need to be careful about listening to opinions of men and women who may write things, unless you are checking those scriptures individually yourself. We need to check scriptures. I know sometimes it's easier just to listen, but we need to check scripture. Because somebody says something to you, including myself, and I value people who'd be quite happy to come and talk to me about it afterwards. If I'm in error, I need to know. Because if I'm standing here in error, then gee, that is not a good thing. And I'm sure Andrew agrees with me, because we need to be in the place of being right, correct in what we speak. And so I want to read Hebrews 11, verse 1. And I think a lot of you know this one. It says, faith is the assurance, it is the title deed and confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of the reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Now it gets a bit, you can get confused by that. And very simply, it's about the fact that we need to have the faith. When we get born again, we have a faith in us. We need to be growing that faith so that we have that assurance. I mean, many of you have been Christians and you've been serving for a long time. But even for myself, I'm finding bits of scripture, bits of God's word, bits of God's purpose that I don't understand. And maybe I've never really understood it. And we need to have that revelation. And that revelation can only come by reading, by meditating, by listening, by partaking in studying the Word. We need to do that. I know sometimes it requires the discipline. Sometimes we put it aside. It's rather easier to listen to someone. But we need to be in the place where we ourselves are building our own faith. We can't just rely on somebody else to build our faith for us. Because in the end, that faith can only come from you. And we've got to have this assurance that what God says, the promises that He makes us, are real. And when you start off as a Christian, sometimes your faith is not quite where it should be. But if you've been a Christian for some time now, you've been serving for some time, you've had the experience of trusting in God. You've had that experience, and that faith has been built up. So when the next step comes, like Silas, and who was with him? Paul and Silas. They had faith, so they were quite content. They knew where they were going. They knew what their promises were. They knew what Jesus had shown them about where they were going and what they should expect. And so they were quite happy to praise. They had no concern about being in jail or being whipped. But if you don't have that hope in you, that's going to hurt. I'm sure it did hurt. But they had the faith to know there's a purpose in all of this. We have been given the gift of eternal life. We've been given a heavenly promised gift. And sometimes we lose sight as Christians because we get caught up in the world around us. And we take our eyes off what the Lord is wanting from us. But we have this gift of eternal life. When we're born again, we have that faith. I don't know about you, but when I was born again, all of a sudden things became clear. Clearer, sorry. Sometimes they're still not totally clear. But that is as the Lord grows us, these things happen. But the clarity, the understanding I have is that when I was born again, I have been given a free gift of eternity with God. And we cannot live today, in today, without understanding what's happening in the future. And there's that song, I Know Who Holds My Tomorrow. You know, we know who holds our tomorrow. So who holds our futures? And we need to be very careful, like with Peter, when he got out of the boat. He looked up and the Lord said, come. He came. And he walked on the water. As soon as he stopped and he looked around at him, he was gone. But the instant that he called out, the Lord lifted him up again. And we need to live the same way. We live today, but we need to have an eye for the future. We live today, we don't worry about yesterday, we don't worry about tomorrow. But what we need to understand, what is held for us in future. There's a gift, there's a very special promise. It's a heavenly promise of eternal life. And if we have a look at 2 Corinthians 4, okay, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 14. And if I'll read that for you. I'm reading from Amplified Version. It does seem to explain it a bit more sometimes. Paul is speaking to Corinthians, and he says, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and will present us along with you in his presence. For all these things are for your sake, so that as God's remarkable, undeserved grace reaches to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of our great God. And just to confirm that we will be raised up. And I just one more before I get down to the what I want to share on this morning. If we have a look at Romans 8, I think this is something that when you start as a Christian, we read Romans 8 a lot. And it's Romans 8, verse 28. And it reads here, and we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. For those whom he foreknew and loved and chose beforehand, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son and ultimately share in his complete sanctification, so that he would be the firstborn, the most beloved and honored among many believers. And those whom he predestined, he called. Those whom he called, he also justified and declared free of the guilt of sin. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising him to a heavenly dignity. And I'm just trying to set the background, the foundation here for who we really are. We are a truly privileged people. We are children of God. You know, Andrew was speaking the other day about the word Christian, which has been hijacked. But in the scripture, it speaks of the child of God, the children of God, the children who've been brought into the house of God, who have an inheritance, who have a promise of a future, who have everything, everything that the Lord has promised us. And the question is, do we all know what those promises are? Do we understand the promises God has made all of us? Because all the promises in the Old Testament and the New Testament are ours. Because we're now part of the family of God. And that includes the Old Testament promises. So we mustn't deny them. My desire this morning is to encourage you. To just give you that encouragement of the hope that we have. And I'd just like to move to one of my favorite scriptures, favorite gospel letters in the Bible is Ephesians. If we can actually go to Ephesians 1, verse 18. And this is a prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians. And it's a desire that I have for all of us this morning, myself included. And I pray that the eyes of your heart, the very center and core of your being, may be enlightened, flooded with light by the Holy Spirit, so that you will know and cherish the hope, the divine guarantee, the confident expectation to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and so that you will begin to know what immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his active spiritual power in us who believe. And these are in accordance with the working of his mighty strength, which he produced in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Again, it's just emphasized that we serve a God. He is the God of hope. And we need to cling to the hope that he's given us. And the faith that is built, has been built in me, has been over the years of listening, reading, meditating. And that faith has built in me. Is my faith complete? Is my faith able to handle some things? No. But I don't know those things until they're in front of me. Then I believe that the Holy Spirit will give me that grace in that particular situation. It's like when you're speaking to people about the Lord. Jesus himself says, don't worry about what you're going to say. But how often do we go into a meeting and we've been sitting in here churning over what we're going to say before we get there? I'm sure that some of you do. But the Lord says, allow the Spirit to speak. Because we don't know that situation. We may think, we may have opinions, but we need to know what the Lord says about it. And the Lord says, don't worry about it. Although as a person, I'm inclined to worry about it. But he says, don't. And we need to know God's promises. In Romans 8, it says, don't lose hope. And we need to understand that we ourselves are weak, we're frail, we're subject to emotions, we're subject to illness, we're subject to physical health. And whether we like it or not, it has got to be a work of the Spirit in our lives to change what we hear into reality in our hearts. In other words, we can intellectually hear what's going on. In other words, I can talk to you until I'm blue in the face. But when you see those scriptures and you allow those scriptures to work in your heart, the Holy Spirit will begin to move, to change you. And I still want to be changed. I know who I am. I know what's inside of me. And I know that I can only stand here this morning by grace and grace alone. For if it was in my own strength as a person, I should not be here. Not even close. And so we need to allow the Holy Spirit to continue working us. None of us can come to the place right now, seated here, where you can say, right, That's me done. I'm okay. I'm bound for heaven. The Lord doesn't want that of us. The Lord wants us to continue to allow the Holy Spirit to work, to change us, to bring us to that place of purity. Bring us to that place of completeness. Bring us to that place of sanctification. Maybe in this life, but I definitely the next. So I look forward to that. But we need to know the promise of God. And it's only in the power of the Holy Spirit that we can allow these scriptures to work. If we go to Romans 15. If we go to Romans 15, verse 13. Says, yeah, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit you will abound in hope and overflow with confidence in His promises. We can't have hope or overflow in hope if we don't understand God's promise. I know I keep coming back to it, but for me it's been a real critical part. I need to know what God promises me so I can stand on it. I can't have hope in something that I don't know. None of us can have hope in something that we don't know. So we need to know, what do you put your hope in? Do you hope in this world? Because anybody who puts his hope and trust in this world is doomed to failure. We've seen it in history. We see it happening in Ukraine, where you've got all sorts of power plays, all sorts of things going on that is all part of this world, part of man's desire for power, man's desire to be God. And we need to be very careful not to get caught up in any of that. And we need to hold firmly to allow that work to happen in us. Because if we don't, we'll lose it. Can I go to Romans 10:17? And that's very simply. So faith comes from hearing what is told, and what is heard comes from the preaching of the message concerning Christ. Again, I come back to it. We need to be in a place where we are listening, we are learning, we are spending time studying what the Lord is saying to us. Look at the scriptures. The scriptures are God's word. We can have opinions, we can have emotions, we can have feelings. I don't know if you know. Okay. If you rely on your emotions and your feelings, you're not going to follow God's word, because you'll have your own opinions, your own emotions, your own background, your own culture, your own upbringing, whatever it may be. We've got to go back to the word and what God says about each and every situation. And that is where we need to stand and stand firm. We need to hold firmly to what has been given to us. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, brothers and sisters, where am I? Have I got the right one here? Now, brothers and sisters, let me remind you once again of the good news of salvation which I preached to you, which you welcomed and accepted, on which you stand by faith. By this faith you are saved, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for God's purpose. If you hold firmly to the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain, just superficially and without complete commitment. And this is Paul's encouragement to the Corinthians, saying, come back to the word, follow the word, stay with the word, listen. And in Isaiah 55:3, if anybody's got it, Isaiah, the prophecy from the Lord, saying, listen carefully to what I, in fact, let's go and have a look at it. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 3. Incline your ear to listen and come to me. Hear so that your soul may live, and I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, according to the faithful mercies promised and shown to David. And it's just to emphasize that when we are listening, we need to actually listen. You know, they say that you hear with your ears and you listen with your mind. But we need to listen with our hearts, not just with our brain and our minds. We need to listen with our hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to actually give us that revelation of what the Lord is showing us. We need to understand the gospel of our salvation. We need to understand what the Lord has done. You know, we have communion on a regular basis, and that'll be next week. But we need to understand our salvation. We can't just rely on hearsay. We must know our salvation. It's in here. The Holy Spirit will imprint it on our hearts so that when we stand, we can stand knowing the hope that we've got in Christ. And just to follow on, the question is, how does God see us? You know, maybe I'm not going to ask how you see yourselves. I don't think that's a fair question. It's certainly not a question I like to answer myself too often. But we need to ask the question is, how does God see us? And I want to read again part of one of my favorite scriptures, and that's Ephesians 2. And if you can go, if you get your scriptures, go to Ephesians 2. And I'm going to read from verse 4. And he was talking about escaping God's wrath. He says, but God, being so very rich in mercy, because of his great and wonderful love with which he loved us, even when we were spiritually dead and separated from him because of our sins, he made us spiritually alive together with Christ. For by his grace, his undeserved favor and mercy, you have been saved from God's judgment. And he raised us up together with him when we believe, and seated us with him in the heavenly places because we are in Christ Jesus. And he did this so that in the ages to come he might clearly show the immeasurable and unsurpassed riches of his grace, his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus, by providing for our redemption. I want you to visualize in Ephesians 1, Christ has been elevated to the right hand of God. Chapter 2 says we have been seated with him in the heavenly places. I struggle sometimes to honestly accept that in my life. But that's how God sees us. He doesn't see you as you are now. He sees what you're going to be. And he's already seated you in the heavenly places with Jesus. I honestly look at myself and say, Lord, you've got the wrong man. But you know what? That's his promise. And I accept that promise. Difficult to believe when I look out, never mind, when I look at some of you here. But God has called you. He wants each and one of you. And he is already, this is not going to happen sometime if you're good and everything else. He's already placed you with Jesus at his right hand. You're seated in the heavenly places. Wow. It genuinely just defies my understanding. But that is what God has done for us. And we need to be understanding of that, the grace that he's shown us. And there's a salvation there that I've got to hold on to. If God is going to place me at his right hand with Jesus, what must I do? I must just do what the scripture says. I need to be obedient to what he's asking me to do. Are we obedient? Are we actually listening to the Lord? Are we allowing him to speak to us? Are we allowing him still to change our hearts? You know, we are heirs. In Romans 8, again, I won't go there, but in Romans 8, he speaks the fact that we've been made heirs. Heirs of the Father, with Jesus. So all those privileges, as I said, all those privileges, all everything that goes with the rank of being an heir of God, are ours. Do we understand those scriptures? Do we understand the promises God has made us? Because sometimes we live a life, you know, the scripture says, Jesus understood what he was doing when he went to the cross. He said, for the joy set before him. And when somebody had to put a cross or a burning fire in front of me, I think I'd have difficulty finding joy personally. But Jesus, for the joy set before him. He understood what was going to happen in the future. Because of that, he was content to go to the cross and say, it's not a problem, because I know what my Father is doing. I know what he's done for me already. I know where he's taking me. Do we have that hope? Do we have that confidence? You know, war is a terrible thing. It really is a terrible thing. There's no glory in war. Because in any war, there are two sides. Right, wrong, it doesn't really matter. But there's no glory in it. And we can only understand that Jesus is in control, not us. And we need to have that hope. That hope that shows us where we are going. Because whether you like it or not, there are times in your life where things are dark and dismal. You get thrown into prison, Silas and Paul. But if you understand where you're bound, it makes a big difference. I don't know if any of you here have been in a place where death has been at your door. Because I think that is maybe the time of testing. And I can say twice in my life that has happened. And I know that in those moments in time, I've had the faith. Nothing to do with me. It's there in that time. I don't have to think about it, because when the time comes, it will be there for us. That grace is there for us. So how long have we got? I'm not going to stop. Okay. One of the things I just want to encourage you with is there are some areas, I just want to encourage you in. So let me just start off with Romans 8. If we go to Romans 8, verses 16 and 17. The Spirit himself testifies and confirms together with our spirit, assuring us that we believers are children of God. And if we are his children, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his spiritual blessing and inheritance, if indeed we share in his suffering, so that we may also share in his glory. And these are some of the areas of hope. I just want to go through it very briefly. We don't have to necessarily look at them. John 14:16, he speaks of the fact we will be transformed. As we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, we'll be transformed more and more into the likeness of Christ each and every day. It's up to us to allow that change to happen. In Romans 8:28, I read it earlier on, it says we need to understand and accept that whatever happens in our life, God designs it for our good. And sometimes when you're in a really bad place, it's difficult to understand that where you are, God will use it for good, because we look at it a different way. And I know that for my wife and I, we've been to some very dark places where we've said, Lord, I don't understand why, but I do understand that it is your hand. And there's been an acceptance in that place. And when there's an acceptance in the place, there's the understanding that whatever happens to us is for our good. The Lord has planned it and purposed it. Some of it is very uncomfortable. It's not so good. But it's all a plan and purpose of God, and it is for our good. That is the hope that I have. That is the faith that I have. That whatever happens in my life is for good. The Lord has planned it for good. I may not like it, but I can look back on some of the things that happened in my life that were not good. They were really tough times. But I know that the Lord has used that for our good. And I'm sure my wife will agree. We've been there. We understand that now. So for future now, as you go forward, I can encourage maybe the newer Christians. There are not many of them here. I think most of you have done the trip. But we need to cling to what he has given us. And storms. Anybody here not have storms in their life? Okay, that's very good. I'm glad, because I was hoping. No, I know I'm not the only one. We have storms in life. And very simply, Jesus, in the New Testament, Jesus calmed the storms. Wherever he walked, he calmed the storms. It woke him up, he calmed the storm. And one of the things we need to understand very simply is that we are in storms. And when we're in that storm, Jesus comes with us. You know, when the three boys Nebuchadnezzar put Daniel and his friends into the burning furnace. He said, "Oh, but I only threw three people in. How come I can see four people in the fire? There were four people. Jesus was there." And if you have a look at Isaiah 43, in fact, let me read Isaiah 43. I'd like to read that. This is an encouragement. Isaiah 43, verse 2. Now, this is what the Lord your Creator says, O Jacob, he who formed you, Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you from captivity. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And he carries on, but very simply, the promise. Those promises are ours. And wherever we are, we need to understand that the Lord will work with us. Do we like it? No, not necessarily. And Hebrews 2 verse 18. He speaks about temptation. Anybody here not being tempted? Whether you like it or not, as you grow, there are temptations that many years ago I wouldn't worry about. Now they seem to be such a problem. And that's because the Lord is bringing us on a narrow road to serve Him, to purify us, to clean us. And sometimes these temptations are tough. But Hebrews is very clear when it says that we have a great high priest, Jesus Himself, who's been here. He understands the temptations. He understands that. And He is willing and available to help us in those temptations. He says, no temptation has overcome you that has not been able to be dealt with by Him. No temptation has overcome us. You know, Jesus Himself says, none of you has resisted sin to the point of bleeding. And if I'm honest, some sins, never mind. Whether we like it or not, we get led astray by some sin. Because they're good, they're nice, they're pretty. But we need to be very careful, because some of these sins will pull you in and lead you to a place that you won't recover from. Romans 8. I just want to read one more scripture. I'd like you to go to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. And this is one thing that I'll close on this one, because there are quite a lot of things here. But very simply, we believers will be called to account and must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be repaid for what has been done in the body, whether good or bad. That is, each will be held responsible for his actions, purposes, goals, motives, the use or misuse of his time, opportunities, and abilities. That's quite sobering. And not only us, but all non-believers will also stand before the judgment seat of God. And when we stand before that judgment seat of God, we will be held to account. You know, it's like the parable of the talents. I'm sure you know about that. But when we stand there, do we have somebody who intercedes for us? Do we have somebody that says they're innocent, they're forgiven, there's no charge against them? I mean, that can be quite a frightening thought. But I need to understand that Christ will be there for me in that day. And when we are judged, it says, in that time we will be judged. But in Romans 8, verse 1, it says, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when we stand before them, when we take communion, what do we say? Lord, thank you for your blood. Thank you for your body that has set us free. So when we stand at that judgment seat, we've got an answer. And it's not our answer. It's not our righteousness. It's not our good deeds. It doesn't matter what you've done. We stand there in the righteousness that is brought by the blood and body of Christ. We cannot do it any other way. So, to me, I would want to encourage you with one last scripture, 1 Peter 1. If I could read from verse 3. Blessed, gratefully praised and adored be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant and boundless mercy has caused us to be born again, that is to be reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed and set apart for his purpose, to an ever-living hope and confident assurance through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, born anew into inheritance which is imperishable, beyond the reach of change, undefiled, unfading, reserved in heaven for you, who are being protected and shielded by the power of God through your faithful salvation that is ready to be revealed for you in the last time. And maybe we're in a place of turmoil, maybe we're in a place of trouble, but we need to cling to the promise of God. We need to cling to the hope that he's given us. Because we're now, while else is gone, there's God. There's Jesus standing there waiting for us. And for me, there's an assurance in what I do. There are times maybe I don't do what is right, but I'm aware that I have forgiveness. We go into the scriptures, there's clearly if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us continually from all unrighteousness. We have an advocate who stands before the Lord, who actually stands there and speaks for us on our behalf. We have nothing to answer except that the blood and righteousness of Jesus has set us free. And there are a lot of scriptures about the fact that Jesus has overcome the world. And so for me, I know whom I serve. I know who has saved me. I know that I need to just walk in obedience to him. I cannot be what I'm not. I can only do what the Lord requires of me. And this morning, encourage you. Cling to the cross. Cling to the hope that has been given to us. Cling with faith. And we need to build our faith each and every day, so that when the time comes, we can stand and say, Jesus is Lord. And he will save me. He has saved me. He has brought me to a place of salvation with the Lord. So we can have a place where we are living with a joy and a peace and assurance that whatever happens here, we have a hope. We have a hope and a future in the family of God, seated at the right hand of God. Amen. Amen. Let me just pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for you, Holy Spirit, that you work in our hearts. Lord, I pray that for each and every one of us, Lord, we'd open our hearts to you. We'd allow our eyes of our heart to be open to hear you, to see you, to feel you, to allow you to change us, Lord, to transform us, to bring us that place of salvation. Lord, to bring us that place where we are sanctified and brought to be more like you each and every day, Lord. You are our Lord and Savior. And Lord, this morning we praise you, we glorify you, Lord. We come together this morning purely to glorify you, Lord. Not for anything that we would want of ourselves, Lord, but for you and you alone. For you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. We praise you, Jesus. Glorify you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. 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 Lord bless you.